Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fightful YouTube channel for the Survivor Series War Games post show. Rick Uccino, Phil Lindsay, Iridian Fierro joining you guys here for the evening. Make sure to get your super chats in. Make sure to get those humper chats in. We are going to make sure to read every single comment that gets sent into us via those two platforms by the end of the show tonight. We got a lot to dive into. We had two War Games matches. We have a brand new United States champion in Shinsuke Nakamura. Bron Breakker able to retain his Intercontinental Championship in a banger of a triple threat match. And Gunther is still your world heavyweight champion. Lots to talk to. Phil, Iridian, it's been a while since I've talked to either one of you. Phil, how's it going, my man? Appreciate you joining us here tonight.
I'm good. Fresh off of a solid pay-per-view, morning of podcasting that went way longer than it probably should have, but it is what it is. I'm here.
Iridian, hi. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, and nice to see you again, Phil. We just saw each other this week. On Wednesday, we were at a show, so 10 out of 10. Great to see everybody. Super excited to chat WWE.
I know, this is weird for us. Yeah, this is weird for us. Usually we're talking AEW, Collision, and, you know, Titty City, and all those sorts of things, but now we actually get to working.
Wow.
Come on, Iron Savages, man. Yeah. You know, anyway, it's a whole thing we went on this a week ago. Anywho, so I digress. None of that tonight. We are here to dive into Survivor Series War Games. Want to hear your comments on whether overall what you thought of the show tonight or each individual match. And, of course, we're going to be reading those once we get to the matches. So, like, if you're Jay Miller who sent in one for the United States Championship match, we will read it when we get to the match. Our expert moderator, Luis, will make sure that I read everything before we get off the air tonight. So let's not waste any more time here. Overall, Phil, we were talking before the show went on the air, kind of a slow start, picked up in the middle. Overall, I think this was a pretty good show. Did have a bit of a slow start, though, but it really got kicked into gear there toward the second half.
Yeah, I think the matches picked up. The opener, boy, it started slow. It took a minute to get going, but it eventually got there.
Iridian, overall thoughts for Survivor Series tonight?
I thought it was good. I feel like I knew it was going to start off and end with a War Games match. So I was kind of worried that in the middle, the excitement of the pay-per-view was going to kind of hit like a dullness. And that didn't happen, which I was very glad that it didn't. I was extremely entertained throughout the middle matches. So I was very happy with the pay-per-view overall.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to sit here and say I wasted 3 hours. Maybe I thought I was expecting maybe a little bit more to happen tonight. And I don't know what that was. I think I'm just coming off of last year's Survivor Series where we had the big shocker at the end with CM Punk showing back up. And tonight I'm sitting here. I felt like after the men's match ended, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, what's next? What's next? Yeah. What's next? They were dragging that out. And it's like Punk had left. Like he left. He thought he was done.
Went
for
through
the
curtain. He went straight through the curtain and came back.
They said, now get your ass back out there. Go back out to the cage. So I guess it ended the same way that, you know, last year's did. Punk came back.
They should just hit a code of personality again when he came back up.
Yeah, exactly. Just rehash what we did last year. Fuck it. That was perfect. Everything was great last year. So that was fine. But yeah.
Now that I think about it, I forgot. I was sitting next to Iridian last year because we were in the scrum. We were sitting in the scrum hearing code of personality playing. And I was like, wait, we're in here.
We thought we were getting punked in the moment. because people were like, oh, he's back. And we're like, what are you talking about? He's back. And there was a teeny tiny monitor on the floor. Everyone's looking around. And then Phil, you and I pulled up Peacock and we're like, he's back. Yeah, he's there. He's in the building. And we completely missed it because they had taken us out as soon as the match ended. But crazy to think that it's already been a year. And here CM Punk is in the main event in the War Games match.
Yeah. Yeah, and the great storytelling between him and Roman Reigns, which we will get to. Van Twin Blade with the super chat saying, Grapsody in the Motebook building tonight. Always love a good Grapsody shout out.
We out here. Reg was like, nah, I'll see you next Saturday.
All right, let's start off with the women's War Games match. It was Team Rhea versus Team Liv. There's a lot of notes that I have on this page. I'm not going to run through the entire 45-minute match of it. But, you know, this is something that I'm watching the opening 15, 20 minutes of it where, you know, Bayley and Nia start off, which it was already going to be kind of a slow start to this match. And not that that's a bad thing. The men's match had a slow start too, but you know, there was a big difference there, and I'll explain when we get to the men's match. But Naomi comes in, then Candace comes in, Bianca, they do all this trading back and forth, and it was so much of start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, where I'm going to come in and I'm going to grab a few weapons, one of which was a toilet seat, which made absolutely no sense, and like it wasn't even that great of a spot that they brought it in for. But it was just a lot of just slogging along until finally Rhea came in. And then they started the damn match, and then it was like the firework exploded, and it was just an exchange one after the other of just these well-timed, fast-paced, quick offense. Io Sky is an absolutely insane human being in the best way possible. Not only did she give the sickos what they wanted by putting the trash can on top of her head, on top of the cage, but then she did the over-the-moon salt with the damn trash can on top of her, spot of the match. We get a little bit of craziness with the Tiffany cash-in tease here. I'm not sure if that was really needed. Rhea ends up winning the match for her team. Riptide on Liv Morgan through the table. Again, Phil, slow start, chaos in the middle. I had fun. I just, you know, ultimately, I feel like there was some stuff missing from this match.
Every year, I feel like I have this same conversation with myself where it's like, you got to get used to WWE War Games matches because they're going to ramp up like the spots. It's not going to be so much violence. We're not going to see any blood. It's not going to be really any hardcore stuff. It's just going to be like the spots inside of a cage match, which when you've seen enough War Games matches, that's not really what a War Games match is, but it's just like their version of it. And it's like, so, and not to say that that's a bad thing. It's just, I have to get used to it because when it's happening, I'm like, all right, Some parts where you have people just laying on the ground or just stopping and standing and clearly waiting and setting up spots, it's like,
yeah,
do something.
Like, yeah, there was a lot of that in both matches. I caught, yes, you know, several people like wait. I was like, crap, hold on, our timing is off here. Poor Io, that one spot where she was like had the chair and she was getting ready to come in and do something. She's like, oh wait, not yet. She kind of just had to like fall down there for a second. It's like,
yeah, it just. Some of that stuff, it just doesn't really work. It kind of makes the pacing of the match look off. And I feel like the women's match suffered the most from that, especially like in the first maybe 10 or 15 minutes where it just felt like there were so many spots that just were like, let's just stand here and wait for this. Let's just do this beatdown segment while we wait for somebody else to get to the ring. And it eventually picked up when Io got in. I thought like the match got much better by the time she got in. When she came in with the trash can tied around her waist, that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even stuff like towards the beginning of the match where we had Nia and Tiffany doing their tandem offense, all that stuff was great. But man, it took a minute to get there. I feel like once all five members from each team got in there, the match really picked up and it got better because the 5v5 stuff actually was better than actual setup for the match. That's when I felt like the match actually got good. But man, that first 15 minutes or so, it was a little bit of a chore, to be honest.
I have a suggestion. Can we just tie the damn weapons to the side of the cage? Like, can we already have them in the dang cage, like in some kind of a setup mode? Maybe you can't do the tables, right? And you can have one person in do the take. But to have one person come out, oh, I got to look under the ring. Crap, my weapon ain't there. Let me go around the ring steps here. Let me find that. Every single woman did that. Like, every single one of them, like, couldn't find their stuff. And it's just, like, it drug on. Can we do some pre-set up stuff here, Iridian? Like, I feel like that would have let pick things up a notch here a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it was tough seeing Io go all the way around and, like, try to find stuff. And then Bianca going and kind of looking for something. And then, you know, a table. And then, oh, wait, one more time. Let me go back. And then it just, the cloth kept falling back. And then they had to keep lifting it up. And it's just like, oh, my God. Yes, yeah. That was a little bit frustrating to see. My beef is with whoever brought the toilet seat.
That was not good.
Whose idea was that? Because Naomi comes out with this, the kendo stick from under the ring. I'm like, it's neon. It's amazing. I'm ready. I'm super excited. Mind you, I thought this match was fantastic. Sports entertained. I was, okay? I was like, yes, the women are starting off. Like, I'm super excited because, you know, I'm already elevating that women don't get a lot of matches like these. So now we're continuing the women's War Games match, and we got great competitors in this. And then you bring out a toilet seat, and I'm like, oh, my God. Where are we? You would not put the toilet seat in the men's War Games match, I'll tell you that. So why would you bring it out during the women's match? And I get it, the spot, haha. But in my head, I'm thinking of, like, people are going to make so many memes. Someone is going to put that on them. And that's just, like, degrading the women in the match that they're having. Like, why? That's
like, if it was Naya's idea, said, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I'm wearing a toilet seat while you, if it was one of them who pitched it, like, if Naya was one that pitched it, like, okay, I can maybe, but, like, somebody's got to be like, nah, you know, it's not going to be as funny as you think it's going to be.
Someone has to be backstage and be like, you know what, let's put a pause on that idea and we'll get back to it. Not put the toilet seat under the ring.
We'll come back to that one. by the way, my favorite person that came out looking for something was Raquel. She comes out and she pulls the table out. Because first of all, she comes out of the cage and the crowd didn't know how to react. It didn't seem like they wanted to boo. They didn't want to cheer. But then when she started pulling the table out, they started cheering. And then she was like, oh, I'm going to leave this here. And then they were disappointed. I was like, they were ready to get excited for the table. And she didn't bring it in. And then when Rhea tried to bring it in with her, she was like, no, you're not coming in here with that table.
man. Yeah. So there was the biggest thing for me wasn't necessarily so much the action, right, of this match. Pacing of the first 15 minutes, like we talked about, I think, you know, a little bit of better prep work could help that along. For me, though, Phil, there was a serious lack of actual in-match storytelling in this one. The entire buildup to this, which was a lot of trying to intertwine other women's storylines together into one big match, right? Like with the men's match, it was a 4-year project that they had been working on. And then for when it came to the women's War Games match, it was kind of like 4 weeks out and they're like, oh damn, we got to do that too. All right, well, let's start working all this stuff together and get this match going. And a lot of it was centered around the attack on Jade Cargill and Bianca trust Bayley. Bayley and Io, they have history. Like, there should have been a lot more dissension amongst the baby faces in this match than there was. There any really whatsoever? Like, I think the only dissension that we got was the Tiffany cash in tease where she hid her briefcase in the trash can, which I thought was a brilliant little spot because she didn't have it when she came out with her, but that was nice. But at the same time, I'm sitting here going, how the hell would this work if she were to cash in, because she'd be pinning one of her own teammates? Like, even they probably didn't know how that would work, which is why there wasn't an actual cash in attempt. And it was Raquel who was stopping it. So I don't know why strategically for Tiffany, like if she's trying to win the match for her team or something, maybe she's trying to just sneak one on Liv Morgan while she was down. Maybe, I don't know. I felt like I could have done without the tease. And that was really the only kind of storyline element we saw brought into this matchup.
Yeah, I thought going in, we already knew that because when we opened the show and they showed everybody coming in with their street clothes, everybody had on sunglasses for some reason, and everybody else's team was together except for Roman's. On Roman's team, everybody else came like alone. The only person that came in with Roman was Jimmy, and I thought that was actually really smart because it sold the idea that everybody else is on the same page. Roman's team is not on the same page because none of these guys trust him. And so that worked, but the women all came in together. So when they started this match, there was no like dissension at all. We didn't get any playoff of the Bayley and Bianca stuff. They mentioned the EO and Bayley stuff, but it didn't really go anywhere. There's also this weird bit of the match where it looked like Bayley had tweaked her ankle, and she kept selling it for us a long time. So I was like, is she okay? But then I was like, wait, no, she's just selling. But she sold this thing for a long time, and it didn't really lead to anything.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Bayley last year, Iridian, was the MVP of the Women's War Games match. This year, with her being, like, the central figure, and she's the one who replaced Jade Cargill, I thought a lot of this match was going to be built around her. I didn't notice her a whole lot tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, she kind of, I guess, you know, fizzled to the middle right after she fought Nia. She took her like sleeve off. She was hitting her with the sleeve. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's cool.
That was a good spot to open up. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, you didn't think that would happen. And then you kind of just didn't notice her. You know, Tiffany Stratton had her great moment with when her and Io were at the top of the cages and, you know, Tiffany hit the swanton. And then of course, Io hit the moonsault with the trash can, which is already all over Twitter and all over Blue Sky everywhere. Really? So shout outs to them. But interesting, yeah, because I feel like Bayley in the WWE has kind of been like on an up and down kind of. And right now she should be on the up, but she wasn't on the up in this match. So interesting to see also who the winners were. I know we'll get to that. But you have two champions on Nia's team and on Liv's team. So how was that not also playing a role into this match at all? Yeah,
this was the definition of let's go out here and have a fun, crazy match with a lot of, like I said, once Rhea got in there, the offense and the timing and everything just kind of really, really picked up, pacing picked up. I was having a lot of fun watching it over the last second half of this matchup. I thought the finish to the match was great. I thought the right team went over. It's the one I was expecting would go over. I thought maybe Io would get the win since she's the one who's set up to be the next challenger for the Women's World Championship. But Rhea gets a measure of revenge. She pins Liv Morgan. I don't really have a problem with who won the match. Do you, Phil?
I don't. I just feel like we're never getting out of this Liv and Rhea storyline. It's just never going to end. We're just going to keep going back to this matchup over and over again. And I don't know why.
Kind of like Finn Balor and Damian Priest, maybe. Just a
yeah, that too.
You know, it's crazy that Rhea and Jade are on the same team. I feel like right now they're building Rhea to be what Jade was in AEW. I know we're talking about WWE, but you know, Jade was very strong and she was powerful and she was undefeated for a long time. You couldn't bring anybody to Jade that Jade wouldn't beat. And now it seems like Rhea is in that position that you're like, okay, who can really beat Rhea? And of course tonight she went over. Did you look at how she came out? Of course you knew she was gonna win. Like,
of course.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's a total badass. You can't convince me she couldn't like win a shoot fight against half of the male locker room. Like, seriously. Like, she is a total, complete, and utter badass. Like, if they wanted to book her and Damian winning the tag team titles from Judgment Day, I'd be all for it. Like, I'd be fine with it. Roll with it. Let's see how, let's see what the Terror Twins can actually do with those. Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm just saying. Laurent asking, has there ever been a Women's War Games match where the heel team actually won? I don't believe so on the main roster.
Not on the main roster.
Yeah, no, definitely not on the main roster. I don't remember all the NXT ones, to be completely honest with you. A couple of super chats to get here to Van Twinblade. Okay, Phil, what is your food pun name? We got Rick Cappuccino. We got Cresta Star Crunch and Iridian Fierro
Rocher.
He says you need one.
I don't know what it is, so. Well, somebody make up one. I'm not good.
I mean, there's got to be a fill up, right? Like a fill up something, you know, there's a pun there, right? There's got to be something like fill my cup up or something like that. You know,
I don't know if that works, Rick. I think you're trying to make it work. I don't see it working, dog. I just don't see it.
Phil is like, I don't know what you guys do on Collision on the Collision app, but on Cassidy, we don't do that.
I don't know about that.
Hey, if anybody wants to throw in some suggestions, we'll happily read them. We got Tyrone Kidd saying, "Have my eyes deceived me? It is Rick and Iridian, but also I love you, my tribal chief." I'll tell you what. So before, in case I forget to mention it, Solo Sikoa, or not the Jacob Fatu, was making me crack up laughing with that "I love you, Solo" shit, like all match long. I can't get one of these off the. I keep clicking one, and the other one pops back up. We gotta stop this. There it is. All right, we got it. All right, technical issues have been solved. We also got one more here from Auntie. Let's get to that one. Just say love to y'all. Appreciate you, Auntie Collins. Thank you so
much. Appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. So again, guys, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. That is the guaranteed way to get your comment read on the.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here tonight. All right. So what do we think this means for Rhea and Liv moving forward? Do we think maybe there's the blow off match at Saturday night's main event? That is a show that they are really kind of trying to hit up with all the, look, we're going to get Cody and KO there. The United States Women's Championship finals are going to be there. They're really stacking this one up as the premium live event, for the month of December. You know, do we think we see Rhea and Liv there? Or do they save that for the Royal Rumble there, Phil?
Well, they need to announce where Io is actually getting her match, because she's had this match for about a month. So
you're right,
owed a match. So she should get her match first. Maybe they're going to do that one at Saturday night main event, and then they'll save the Rhea Liv match for day one or something, or the next pay per view.
I do think there would be some poetry to doing it at the Royal Rumble, considering that those two finished 1-2 at the Royal Rumble.
Well,
I think they're probably gonna do that match again at Mania. Can you imagine they drag it?
Don't do that.
I mean, look, and this is not throwing shade on the Raw Women's locker room, but it's like they have the talent there. But is there anybody that they have shown that they're invested in other than Io, who is on the rise once again, Liv and Rhea on the roster? Like that's it. They're the top three easily right now on the Raw Women's roster.
Io is the number one contender. Like they've been showing vignettes for Lyra Valkyrie. They've tried to build other people up, but this feud has just gone on too long. I hate to be the one that says it, but it has. It's gone on too long. I'm just ready for it to be over.
What I will say is I do think that Tiffany Stratton is probably going to cash in on Liv, and they'd probably make this just a Rhea and a Liv, no championship beef, because honestly, like it's just, again, like you guys said, it's gone on too long. I'm a little tired of it. Love them, but I'm just a little tired.
Yeah. Would not be surprised if it ends up being Charlotte Flair that gets the women's world title match when she comes back at WrestleMania.
Also love Charlotte.
But why? Why would you do that?
I'm just saying, I would not be surprised.
Where's Chelsea Green? Somebody. Oh, she's working for the other title. Yeah.
Yeah, that, Chelsea. That is something I did think in this match, though. They needed somebody like Chelsea or a Shotzi that would do the crazy bumps. And I think that was part of what was missing that you did have in the men's match, because you had guys that would take the big bumps or take these crazy spots. Like, there were people that were, like, trying to, like, do exciting things. But, like, you needed the Chelsea of the world that will go, yeah, I'll go through two tables. Fine. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Shove me off the top of a ladder. I don't give a damn.
And that's a crazy thing to say, right? Because you have Candice LeRae in that match, a woman who's known for going hard. But yeah, in WWE, the way that she's been booked in matches, you're not set to believe that, oh, my God, Candice LeRae's in here. We're going to see some crazy things. And, yeah, they did set up the chairs and, you know, did a little spot on that. But then afterwards, what did we see? We didn't see anything.
Yeah, I felt bad when she missed the sunset flip off the top of the cage. Yeah. I was like, oh, that would have been so damn cool. Like,
and crazy things happen, you know, in the War Games match, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's so many things you have to think about, things that you have to pay attention to, plus with the cameras, plus the referees. And then,
yeah, look,
scary.
Yeah, stuff happened. Like, you could even see, like, after that spot, like, Io's climbing the cage underneath her, and she's, like, trying not to laugh her ass off after that spot. So, you know, it is. Things happen. But. Overall, this definitely picked up, and I'm not sad that I watched this match tonight, for sure. Our second match of the night was for the United States Championship. It was LA Knight defending against Shinsuke Nakamura. Nakamura, new entrance gear, new entrance music again. I think he may have set a record for having new entrance music after just debuting new entrance music in like less than 24 hours. But I hate to say this as a guy who loves his old entrance theme, both of them, as a matter of fact, his heel and his babyface one. I dig this new subdued version of his theme song. It really fits this new persona that he's showing, where it's not so much the rock star, but just this absolute sinister killer type. And following through on some of the stuff that he was promising to do to Seth Rollins, like the actual character itself isn't much different from what we saw out of him last year, but now it feels like they're more behind actually clearly giving him some big victories, as he immediately comes right in and wins the United States Championship. And Phil, I said on Twitter before this match happened, the way he came out with the samurai mask and the presentation and everything, I'm like, he has to win. He absolutely has to win this match. You cannot bring him in with all of this and then immediately have him lose, or this match end in a disqualification, or literally any of the things that we've seen them do with Shinsuke Nakamura in the last, you know, 5 years on the main roster. But to my surprise, they followed through and they gave him the United States Championship, which I believe was the right move to make.
Yeah, I thought his entrance on Friday was great. Tonight, like you said, had slightly different music, but the presentation of it is incredible. Shinsuke is just the master of theatrics, man. He's the master of like getting something like this over. We've only seen it twice and people are already like, this is so cool. Like having that blood moon behind him, and then when you get further away from it, you can see that it's the rising sun Japanese flag. That's so cool. And then he's got like the makeup under the helmet and everything, the way that they showed the silhouette and everything when he showed up, and you could just see the horns off of the samurai mask. So dope. And I love that it seems like he's doing like at least an homage to Great Kabuki. I don't know if that was just me that saw that, because he's doing the miss, which would make you think like Muda, but like some of the way he moves and like the uppercut and stuff he does made me think Great Kabuki, which makes all the sense in the world for this point of his career for him to not wrestle like the same physical style, but to kind of do something that works more. And man, the way that he does these like slight movements to get into things, like Friday when he did it with the miss, where he just moved slightly out of the way and did the miss. So cool. And he did the same thing here where he moved out of the way a little bit and thumbed somebody in the eye. Awesome.
Oh, dang. Oh, and he's gone.
Where did he go?
Man, that was like Santino in the Royal Rumble fast. Like that was just in and out and on with life. I believe he was
grand opening, grand closing.
Well, maybe we had something big breaking there. We do have an alert from Luis in the on my note sheet here, it says, alert, alert, all caps, CM Punk was given pastries in the scrum. I repeat, Punk given pastries in the scrum. If he throws a rant, I will keep y'all posted.
If he's not going to yell about somebody being children, then I don't want it. Like, it's cool watching him eat sweets, but we got to get the whole thing, man.
For sure. Iridian, what did you think of Shinsuke's presentation of the match tonight with LA Knight?
Honestly, when Shinsuke came out, I was in awe. I thought he looked incredible. I honestly wrote Shinsuke in all caps on my notes because I didn't know what was going on. Everything was so perfect. I was like, that looks like a winner to me. If I've ever seen one, it's him and it's tonight. And Shinsuke did not disappoint. I just, oh my God, he is so great. And it hurts my brain that it's not going the way it should. Hopefully we're on the up and up, but he just hasn't felt like the biggest, best thing on the roster. And I know he is one of the biggest. Like, it just, it hurts my brain. It really does.
Yeah. I'm hoping now that he's got this run is going to be very important for me, because I feel like any time that they have given him a championship, Phil, it's just turned into a parking space, basically. Like, yes, the last time he had the United States Championship, I think he had it for like 6 months and he was never on TV. And I think he defended it like twice, and once was like this grand house show on Nashville that they just decided to throw up on the WWE network. Like, the whole Shinsuke Knock America run it's just like, I'm hoping that this is a new regime. You know, maybe they'll actually do something with him in the United States Championship, but with a women's United States title that they're going to have to start booking here soon as well on a 2-hour show. Oh boy, I'm really nervous that there's not going to be enough time, but we'll
see. It did seem very abrupt for LA Knight, because they did do all this stuff to build up Carmelo and Andrade doing the best of seven stuff.
A lot of people
stuff
in the chat saying that, yeah.
And then they got to the match. They just had the one triple threat match, and then they never went back to those two opponents for LA Knight. And then he just loses. So it did feel a bit abrupt. I do think that this was the right call with what you're doing with Shinsuke. His presentation is fantastic. The style of wrestling he's doing, everything now, it works. But yeah, I do fear, like you, because I am dreading this as well. This was right after the AJ and Nakamura feud at WrestleMania. We got his first U.S. title run with the Knock America stuff. And he, for some reason, had on like an American bandana, like Joel Santana for some reason. And so he's it just shows every time you put this guy on TV, you add even a little bit of a different coat of paint to him. People want to cheer for this guy. People want to see him. And so I hope this is leading to something. They struck gold with the vignettes they've been doing with the subtitles. So
yes,
I think that that's a good sign with him as champion. They can keep doing that. So hopefully, you know, with that presentation in mind, there'll be something with this and it won't be the same that we've seen before.
Jay Miller with the super chat saying the ending was kind of flat. To be honest, missed opportunity to use Seth to break up the ending. Interesting there. Was Shin's win to get the U.S. title for the Noah match? I definitely don't think it. I don't think it was a capper. Like, I don't think somebody in creative was sitting here saying, hey, you know what we need to do for this guy's match for another company is end a title run of LA Knight, one of our top baby faces, and give it to this guy. So this guy that we haven't used on television since April. But I will say, to make that match a little bit more mean a little bit more, it definitely doesn't hurt, but I don't think that would be a deciding factor in any way, shape, or form. I actually did really like the storytelling again. For anybody who's not seen me on a Fightful post show, I'm a big storytelling guy. I loved the story of this match with Shinsuke Nakamura from the get-go, getting inside LA Knight's head. And, you know, whether or not, you know, LA was trying to wrestle this way, or whether it was just one of those nights where he was just a little bit off with a couple of his moves. But this whole, he takes that stiff elbow to the face early on in the match, and then he just wrestled off like the entire matchup. And he looked like he was wrestling like he had no confidence, and it looked like Shinsuke was in his head the entire time. And this is where I think Corey and Michael Cole were absolutely masterful on commentary because they were really selling that part of it. Anytime he slipped just a little bit, they were like, see, there it is again. He's not quite as sharp. And then they said once he got his head planted on the steel in the middle, they were like, it's over. This match, blood in the water. He is done. He takes a Kinshasa. He's out. And now it's like, okay, let's see how LA Knight can bounce back. I'm excited to see that story of how LA Knight gets back to being. Is he just going to show back up on Friday and be the brash bravado and all that stuff? Or is there actually going to be some more layers to this? That's what I'm interested to see moving forward, Iridian.
You know what's interesting? When LA Knight was about to come out, they put the little like decibel reader of like how loud the crowd was going to be. And LA Knight comes out and I'm like, all right, we're going to see like 90s. We're going to see 100. Like that thing is going to move. And they didn't move anything. They didn't even try to add a couple numbers to that. And I was like, okay, it's just like a regular, like the crowd is the same from before he came in to when LA Knight came out. And I know I was cheering. So I was like, I know they didn't hear me. So they didn't. They didn't factor that into it, but I was like, okay, that's a little shady, but very interesting. Yeah, that commentary the whole time, I was like, all right, you guys are sounding a little biased because he's not even in the ring yet, and you're over here pointing out like, oh, I don't know if you saw that, but he dropped his championship, and clearly he's not rare. He's not.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Wow, like that's crazy. But I was like, you know what? That's really good. Like again, Rick, like you said, storytelling from commentary, because even if you were watching it and you didn't think that LA Knight was off of his game tonight, clearly commentary was going to tell you that he was. He was just not having a good night, and we ended up seeing that.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm sitting here waiting to see if Sean doesn't do another run in, but hey, we'll hear from Sean right now, real quick.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform; they've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Got another super chat here from Pat, who was at the show. Just got back. What a night. Hope Vancouver came off well, at least not during LA Knight's entrance, as Iridian noted. Sorry for the JT Miller chance in the main event, LOL. Make sure to get your super chats in. Get your Humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight. Let's dive into this Intercontinental Championship match. Felt like I needed a cigarette after this match. For me, this was the one of the night. And you just kind of knew that's what was going to be the case. You had Bron Breakker, Sheamus, and Ludwig Kaiser, who just continues to take the ball with every opportunity that he gets. This is a guy that there's not a doubt in my mind that all three men in this match were going to be holding the Intercontinental Championship at some point in their career. Sheamus is going to get it one day. At least I hope he does, because I know he really, really wants it. But to me, this outcome was never going to be in doubt. I knew Bron Breakker was going to win this matchup. But that predictable doesn't mean bad. And this one was on fire from the get-go. Bron Breakker just showing off the insane athleticism. The two missile jump spots this guy had. The one from, like, outside of the camera. Like, looked like he dove from underneath the camera to hit Sheamus. And then the one where he just catapulted himself off of the ring apron through both guys on the commentary table. The spear that he hit on Kaiser at the end. I mean, that man flew. They literally flew across the ring to hit that spear on Kaiser. I thought the finish was great. There were a couple of spots with Sheamus that sold me down the river. Even though I knew Braun was going to win, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, oh, damn, they made my heart skip a beat with that one, especially after he hit the Broad kick and then Kaiser pulled the referee out. The timing of this match, Phil, was really, really good. They hit all of their spots. This was entertaining from start to finish for me.
Yeah, this was my favorite match of the night, easily. I thought all three guys looked great. Ludwig Kaiser kind of stole the show. There are several spots where he was just doing very small character things, and it was so funny. When he gets in the ring and he's setting the chair up in the corner, and he finally gets it how he wants, and he's so pleased with himself, and he turns around and they're both looking at him. He's just like, ah, shoot. So great. When he pulls Sheamus out of the ring as well, and Sheamus is like distraught, like he pulled the ref out of me, and Sheamus is like, what have you done? And he's just sitting there with that big grin on his face the whole time, like, well, that was me. Yep, me. And so when he gets out of the ring, and I'm thinking, oh, he's gonna pummel this guy, and he comes from behind his back with the shillelagh and just like beats the ever loving crap out of Sheamus with it. All great stuff. Like you said, Bron Breakker, this guy is going to be a future world champion. We all knew that. It took me a minute to get on the Bron bandwagon, but I think turning him heel has helped him a lot. The barking has gotten over. Like, even you can tell how much the current theme is working for him. He's got it. He's got the package. He looks great. The spears look incredible. Man, when he came from behind the camera, I was like, what? Where did he come from? What is this? That spot was great. And the one, like you said, where he jumped straight at the camera to dive on both guys on the table. It looked like he was about to come through the TV.
I mean, yeah, like, this was the match of the night for me, Aurelian. Like, hands down. This really kicked the show into a new gear.
Joke's on me, because I didn't think this match was going to be as good as it was. I was very happily proven wrong. And I guess I'm the only one who thought Sheamus had a chance, because I had been watching the pre-show and Wade and Big E were talking about, you know, how they broke out of their groups to also become champions and how long it took them. And they were talking about how for years Sheamus has not been able to get this championship. And I was like, oh my God, you know, you're right. This is Sheamus's time. It's like, it's, this is it. I love Sheamus. He's been reliable. He's been there for years. They said he's a Hall of Famer, soon to be Hall of Famer eventually, right? And I was like, oh my God, yes, makes sense. So this was so frustrating for me, because all of the near falls, I was like, please, no. Like, it was
you bought the stuff that they sell every time Sheamus gets an IC title match. They do this every time he gets an IC title match.
I love Sheamus. I feel like they always do him dirty, poor Sheamus. But I love him. He's done it all. Kaiser, like Phil said, I agree with you. I think he really had, you know, his shine during this match. I think that looking into the future, you are now able to say that Kaiser, yes, can stand on his own. He doesn't need the ring general. It does help, but this guy can do it by himself. And he's, his cockiness, his arrogance, his little silly moments that you're just like, oh my God, I don't like you, but you're good. Yeah, I think he's good. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. He's incredibly good. I really don't have much more to say on this other than this match was just really, really damn good. We did, as soon as Kaiser lost, Gunther came out to defend his World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest. All right. So, Phil, before we get into the match itself, I do need to ask you, what did you make of the build to this match with what they have been doing with Gunther? Because I've been seeing a lot of constructive criticism and a lot of hate toward this build of what they've done with Gunther, basically, you know, throwing the C word out there, calling him a coward, and this, that, and the other thing. It's been not exactly been the kind of character work that we see from Gunther typically. So what do you make of the build leading up to this?
I'm glad that they made the loss to Cody mean something. It wasn't just like he lost and then came back and acted like nothing changed. Losing to Cody, it made him unsure of himself. And Damian came in like, look, man, I've already been a champion. I'm going to beat you. And you could see, like, with every exchange where he kind of, like, either outwitted him or he, like, showed more fire than him in the promos, you could see all of those times Gunther was kind of looking around like, this feels familiar. That's what that other guy was doing. And so I love all of that stuff coming into this match where he thought he was going to jump Damian from behind, where he was sitting at that table. I don't know what he was doing at that table. He was like looking at some blueprint for the building or something. I don't know what was going on, but he tried to jump him at that table and he got the best of him. And I was like, oh man, what's happening to Gunther? I wasn't one of those people like he's buried, but I was like, I'm curious to see where this is going. I loved going into this match and how Damian looked the same way in the match. Cool, confident. Then when he tweaked that shoulder, Gunther, all of a sudden, that smirk came across that's all I was waiting for. And as soon as he saw that weakness, he pounced on it. And that was the entire rest of the match, him targeting that shoulder, staying on him. Wonderful stuff. All the stuff you expect from Gunther. Great limb work. Him, at one point when he's selling the shoulder, Damian tries to get him up for the South of Heaven. Can't get him up. Soon as he lands, chops him clean in his neck. I was like, I don't think he can breathe. Is he all right?
Yeah, the whole match for me, that one spot where Gunther was like, yeah, it was like that moment, right, where like in Rocky, where like Ivan Drago got cut, and then it's all of a sudden like there's that hope, and it's like, okay, I'm in. I know exactly what to do, and you could see his brain working. And then he just goes to work on the shoulder. I thought Damian's selling was absolutely spectacular. And look, the match story was perfect right then and there already. That's all they needed. That was the only out, honestly, that like I get wanting to protect Damian, because to his credit and to WWE's credit, they have gotten him over. He is on a different level now than when he was the world heavyweight champion. And the fans are now fully behind him. The reactions that he's been getting on Raw have been the best that he's ever gotten on the main roster. And it's very, you know, comparable to some of the other top baby faces in the company. So, you know, you want to try to protect him in some way, shape or form. I felt like they did that with the shoulder injury, mm-hmm. but then they decided to double down and have Finn Balor interfere in the match. Delivers a coup de grace off the steel steps on Damian. Gunther did not want that, and Gunther kicked Finn Balor's head off, but then he was still smart enough to pounce on the opportunity and end up beating Damian Priest by choking him out. So at least they didn't have Priest tap. Yeah. But I'm torn on the Finn Balor involvement, because one, that doesn't do anything for Gunther as, you know, a competitor, or to give him his confidence back, which might be part of the reason why they did that, so they can continue this different, you know, spin that they're taking with Gunther and whether or not he's still as dominant as he believes himself to be. But this also means that Damian Priest and Finn Balor are going to keep fighting each other.
This is Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan all over again. These guys are always going to fight. And you know what? Shout outs to Gunther for taking Finn out, because he was like, no, you're not in this match, sir. Go back to the back. And he was like, oh, he was just so great. I honestly have no constructive criticism for Gunther. Shout out to you. You keep doing you, boo. If it was up to me, he would always have a championship. He's so great. 10 out of 10. But Damian, I think, you know, when the camera cut off, like when he like fell off the top rope or jumped off the top rope, I don't know what happened because the camera moved.
Yeah, camera missed it. Yeah.
No thanks to the cameraman. And then he was on the floor all of a sudden, and it's just like, oh, things happen kind of quick there. But Gunther knows when to strike, and that's just so good. You see it in his face when that moment, like his eyes sparkle a little bit, because he knows he's about to get you. And that's honestly scary. So I'm glad that Damian didn't tap out. I think it's the better choice that he just kind of passed out. But again, I don't want to see Finn and Damian fight again. Like, this is another probably WrestleMania match. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't want to see Finn lose again. Like, I'm sitting here like, can we find a way to get him? Can we find a way to elevate this man? Like, you put him in a Hell in a Cell match against a guy who was leaving the company, and you put the guy who was leaving the company over.
What? Honestly, I think there's only one person that can save this, and that's going to be the Demon. So bring him out. Bring him out. Let's do that.
You know what? The only thing that I liked about the only thing I liked about the Finn Balor spot there, Phil, is after Damian fell off the top, the crowd started chanting, "You fucked up."
Yeah.
He did it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, because he was getting in place for the Finn Balor interference. And I would have been so tempted as a performer to go, "Fuck you, vindication. I did not that screw up." But that was the only redeeming part of the Finn thing, because I was genuinely curious. I'm like, oh damn, did he fall off and like really like injure himself? And then no, because again, the camera moved and we didn't know really what had happened in that spot. So I'm happy to see that that was supposed to happen. So wrestling fans, you don't always know everything.
Yeah, I can see him like rolling over and getting ready to take that stomp to his stomach and going, suck it, Vancouver. You were all wrong. Take that in your faces. Yeah, I was not very pleased to see Finn here. I just felt like it was a little bit too much. You already had him selling the shoulder. He did not tap out after the match. So at the end of the match. So why did you need to bring Finn in? The only possible thing that I did like about it is Gunther very much now back in his mode, coming out of the ring and seeing Finn, immediately drop kicked him and got him out of
here.
And I was like, all right, give us the Finn Gunther match that we've been asking for like 4 years now. Like, that's like, you could just do that. I'd be fine with that, but I feel like we're just going to get another Finn Damian match that I don't want. I do think the other wonderful thing about Gunther as a character is that we've seen him a few times now where he can see where somebody might be able to dethrone him, and he completely kind of gets out of character, and he's like, nope, not give you the match. Nope, never wrestling you. We've seen him do it like 3 times now. We saw him do it with Dragunov on NXT. Once he realized Dragunov was that guy that could beat him, he started clutching that belt tighter like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not wrestling that guy. Saw it the same way with Sami Zayn. Once, after Sami Zayn beat him at WrestleMania, he's like, nope, never wrestling you. Not giving you the match. And so kind of the same thing happened with Damian, where you can see every time Damian fired up on him, he's like, oh, no, he's not afraid of me. Like, because I think he's so used to just coming in and being imposing before the match starts. And all of these wrestlers are a little bit uncomfortable. And it's like, oh, no, this guy's not afraid of me. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to give him the match.
Make sure to get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, guys. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air. I do want to talk about what might be next ahead for Gunther here, but first we got to hear from our buddy Sean one more time.
I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it, but I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great, but a big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
All right, Iridian. So Gunther gets past Damian Priest tonight. He's already beat main event Jey Uso. He's beaten Randy Orton. He's got CM Punk on a roll right now after winning inside of Hell in a Cell and now winning inside of War Games. Tough back-to-back matches for the Second City Saint there. But do we think CM Punk might be next? Seth Rollins is out there, even though he kind of just lost to Bronson Reed, even though it wasn't really a fair matchup. What do you think is the next matchup for Gunther heading into a very important WrestleMania season for him?
I would definitely say put Gunther up against CM Punk. I would love to see that. 10 out of 10. I think we would get some really, really great moments. Also, I'm not opposed to that idea, like you said, of Seth Rollins. While we build up towards that Mania, hopefully Seth Rollins and CM Punk match that people want. People, I mean me. So hopefully we...
I do too.
Yeah, hopefully we build a little bit towards that. But I don't know. I feel like Gunther has a lot of people on the roster looking at him. And I believe he could beat them all, but also it's just going to take one single slip up from him to lose that championship. So it's going to be interesting to see how long they keep that title on him, because again, he is a person to hold championships for a long time. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And Triple H's MO has been every title needs to be an endurance test, almost with just the, you know, a couple, you know, exceptions to that rule. But it seems like, Phil, ever since he got in there, it's like, I'm just going to rewrite literally the entire record book. Bianca, the Usos, Gunther, Roman Reigns, maybe Gunther again here. I'm not entirely sure, but I don't see him dropping that belt before WrestleMania. I don't at all.
I kind of think based on this finish, we might get a triple threat match with him versus Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. That makes a lot of sense. I have the sinking suspicion, and I've been thinking this since SmackDown last night, that the favor that he wants from Paul Heyman is to help him get a title match. I think that Gunther is going to laugh Punk out of building and go, I'm not wrestling you. You've had how many matches this year? Why do you deserve a title match? Oh, right. Because you beat one guy that you've wrestled all year? No, I'm not giving you a match. And I think that's going to be the thing that gets in the match. I think Paul Heyman is going to get in Pierce's ear, and that's going to get him in the match, which is further going to make Seth Rollins mad, because Seth Rollins established this belt as a workhorse belt. You have to work to earn your shot at this match. And this is exactly what he was afraid of letting these guys win, that they're going to overuse their power. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think Punk is going to call in a favor, and that's how he's going to get his world title match. And I kind of think it's going to be the main event of WrestleMania.
Oh. Hmm. Okay. Hmm. Damn. All right, because my thought process on this, I think John Cena is winning the Royal Rumble. I thought John Cena versus Gunther at WrestleMania 41. And from my mouth to Antoine Phillips' fingers here, that's the direction I see them go. That's the direction I see them go. And that's a match I could also see them booking in the main event of night one. I mean, Cena going for, you know, number 17, breaking the all-time record, you know, and maybe that's the one where maybe Gunther finally gets his full-on groove back as he just decimates the old man. But that's the direction I see them going, personally.
I just don't see him teaming with Roman if he's not sitting here thinking about the long game. And he's got to look at this. I came back with one goal in mind, and that was main eventing WrestleMania. I got in that Rumble match and I got hurt. He's like, wait a minute, I did this Hell in a Cell match, I did a War Games match, I'm not doing a Rumble again. I know a guy that owes me a favor. That's how I get my match.
Will Chisholm with the super chat here said, I think WWE won't help themselves to put the title on Punk. It's a real chance that he wins. Look, I definitely think there's a strong chance that Punk is going to win a world championship one day. Maybe not the WWE championship, but the world heavyweight title.
The match. That's other than the fact that the other belt he held for a year, he has more history with the world heavyweight championship. He cashed in twice to win that belt.
Yep.
That was the belt he had when he had the Jeff Hardy feud. Like, it makes all the sense in the world for him to win that belt. And Seth would hate it.
You know, a WWE shop is selling that CM Punk belt, that spinner belt, which is crazy.
It's wrong.
People hate that spinner belt, but then when CM Punk is on it, they're like, oh my God, it's such a great belt.
No, I still hate it. I've always hated the spinner belt. Like, it feels wrong for him to even carry the spinner belt because he's everything that John Cena is not. Like, why would he want a spinner belt?
Love the spinner belt. Love John Cena. Talk to me after.
I still loved it. Well, I don't know why, right? But just like one of these CM Punk memories that just sticks in my head is when The Rock introduced the new design for the WWE Championship, and Punk immediately was like, oh God, I want that one. Like, immediately, that was like the first thing out of his mouth was like, please give me that damn belt. We had one more super chat here from Will Chisholm talking about the Gunther Damian Priest match, saying it took him this much to lose. LOL. What is this? A 2014 John Cena match. All right. We got one more to go. Bloodline Civil War Games. This one was just storytelling at its finest from start to finish. Everything from the Bloodline 2.0 coming in as a united front and them really selling that fact they have all bought into the, you know, Solo Sikoa as their leader, as their tribal chief. Jacob Fatu was cracking me up with the I love you Solo thing. First off, I loved the, like, the primetime football introduction thing that they did for all the competitors, and they get to Solo and he's just like, I love you, Solo. It was brilliantly done on his part. So I like the real sports aspect of that as well. But this matchup started like really, really slow, just like the women's matchup. But this one was different in the sense that we had Tama Tonga, which doing his Spider-Man routine across the cage to taunt the crowd. That guy cracks me the hell up. But him and Jay, when they get into the ring together, they are just letting the anticipation build around them. It was like a solid 90 seconds to 2 minutes before they ever touched one another. And the crowd was just absolutely eating it up. Now, it also helps the fact that they were riled up from Jay's entrance. And I love that they did that. And I think that that is a great, I don't know if message, testament, I don't know what the word is to use there, but that's to have Roman and Punk come out first, Phil, and then to have Jey Uso be the capper and get the crowd really fired up, that just shows you how far along that he has come and how over that he is right now.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. To have him come out very last, it was the same thing that I thought at Crown Jewel when he showed up and he was doing the yeet next to Roman, and Roman was kind of looking like, oh, he's like really over without me. He's his own guy now. Like, he's really main event Jey. For him to come out in the main event, he's the guy that caps off this. This is, again, when you see the difference between this match and the women's match, this is where I feel like this match was paced better and the booking was better, because starting it with Jey and he got the crowd hot immediately, that made a big difference. Then when you have him go in there and have a one-on-one match where it kept the crowd engaged, and then straight off the back, you did the Usos together again. And it's been so long, it feels like, since we've seen them wrestle as a tag team. So the crowd and everybody was immediately invested. And like I said, that was that hook that I felt like the women's match didn't have in the first 10 minutes. This match immediately got you hooked in, because it's like, oh, wait, the Usos are together again. It's like they're doing a tandem offense. They still look the same. It was kind of like, oh, wait, they are still a great tag team. And yeah, then by the time we started reintroducing people in, they kept doing the camera cuts back to Roman and Punk in the cage, which were hilarious every time when it started and everybody's in the cage and he's sitting there side eyeing them like, I can't believe this guy is in this cage with me. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. When it cut back and it looked like Punk was going to try and get out, and he throws his arm out and sends Sammy out instead, and they both kind of look at each other. You can see in that moment Punk is like, I hate this guy. But yeah, all of this stuff, just great. Them standing next to each other alone in the cage, and they were just kind of looking at each other like, just this one time, right? Just this one time. Which, yeah, to my theory, Punk's like, it's all right. I'm going to get what I want out of this, yeah, so I just have to deal with it. Yes.
Him darting in front of Roman was the spot for me, because, you know, like, Roman is like doing his like, I'm gonna saunter out there, I'm gonna do my Roman Reigns thing, I'm gonna take my sweet time, and Punk is just like, get the F out of my way, you stay back, you punked me once, now I'm about to punk you, and I'm gonna go in there. That was the best spot for me.
Yeah, all great stuff. All, again, Roman's just great at the facial expression, the way he stared at the camera after Punk ran past him. Fantastic. I think, again, starting with the Usos and Sammy for the babyface side, and they get up the tempo of the match, and they are the faster guys out of that. You're not going to send Punk in there straight away because he's slower than those guys. They can have the better match, but, man, when Punk gets in there, and this is just how well that Hell in a Cell match did for him, because there were some real allegations that this guy was washed until the Hell in a Cell match. That changed the entire perception of him, because I don't think people would have been as excited to see him here if that Hell in a Cell match wasn't as good. So as soon as he pulled out the toolbox, everybody got excited. And so he hops in, uses the toolbox. The knee to Jacob into that running bulldog. And Jacob just immediately gets back up like nothing happened, throws the toolbox out of the way, and he's like, nah, this ain't over. I love you, Solo.
Jacob Fatu stole the show for me in this matchup with his character work, his athleticism, Iridian. Like, every time, until he did that spot off the rope, where I legitimately could not tell if it was a work or a shoot, right? Where he did the step up, do the flip, and then something went wrong, whether he did it on purpose or not. I was genuinely concerned, and it was the right leg, right? So if it was the left leg, I would have been immediately like, okay, it's a work, he's fine. But when you're holding your right leg, made me very, very concerned, but at least he was able to get up and he was able to finish the match. Now, we do have a note from Luis in the chat saying in the scrum, it was revealed that both Jimmy and Bronson were injured in the match tonight. So hopefully that they are going to be okay. We don't know the severity of their injuries, but the fact that Jacob was not mentioned there is noteworthy, but he was able to finish the match. To me, Iridian, he was the star of the show, and of the new people that they have brought in for Solo's team, he is clearly the one that is, he's got the brightest future. And that's not a knock on any of the other guys that are in that group, but my God, this guy is just he's just different. He's just built different.
Jacob is the leader of that group. I don't care what anybody says,
but he loves Solo.
He loves Solo, and it's okay. it's okay. You know, everybody's got to love somebody. And I think there, you know, when, you know, it was said like WWE was like worried, rumored that, you know, when they brought in Jacob, it was going to take away his shine, which Solo shine, which I don't think it did, because I don't think Solo was highly favored amongst the fans. So when Jacob came in and you're like, oh my God, this guy's amazing, he's incredible, like charisma just oozes off of him. And to see him do what he does in the ring, it's just like incredible. They kept saying on commentary, like, this guy shouldn't be able to do half the things that he's doing. And here he is. And it gets you excited. The fact that the camera wasn't even on him and I heard him in the ring yelling, I love you, Solo. I was like, oh my God, sir. It's just, it's hilarious. And honestly, this guy is a future champion. If he wants to lead that, the group, the bloodline, I believe it. I would believe it. Yeah. Solo, you would probably move to the bottom then, because right now there's other people higher on the list than you.
Look, like, I think Roman and Solo are going to have a Solo match one day, but it's the Jacob Roman match that I want to see the most. Yeah. Like, that's the money match. That's the WrestleMania match. As far as I'm concerned, if they wanted to do that, whether this coming year or the year after that, if they wanted to slow play, because look, it's the bloodline, they're going to slow play everything with this. But for 100%. Now, as great as I thought this match was, there's one spot I have to ask if everybody else here on the panel was just like as dumbfounded as I was when Solo locked the cage to keep Roman out. And he's sitting there like, you ain't getting in. You ain't getting in. And then commentary sitting there like, well, how the heck is he going to get in? He's not. This match is over. And I'm just sitting here and I'm going, guys, 2 hours ago, we saw Io Sky climb to the top of the cage and jump in. Like, what? This? Who came up with this idea of locking Roman out? Like, there's a roof. This ain't Hell in a Cell. What? This
probably
the dumbest thing I've seen tonight, by far.
The same person who thought of that toilet seat.
Yes, they're over 2. They are over 2. Stop having your intern give ideas, please. This was bad.
The only way this would have
took me out of the match.
The only way this would have worked is this was the spot to put Rollins in. Rollins comes up behind him, hits him in his knee with a chair, and he does the old, you're going to climb with one leg? How are you going to climb with one leg, huh? Yes. You're going to climb with one leg?
I was stunned Seth Rollins didn't come into this match. Like, so much history involved there. He's got beef with like 8 guys in this match. How he sat on the sidelines on this one. Now, I'm glad. Like, didn't need overbooking, didn't need his involvement. I'm stunned they didn't have him involved already.
I honestly thought Drew McIntyre was going to come out at one point. I was like, they're stalling. There's just some weird stuff going on in this match. Like, they kept looking in different places. And I was like, this is weird. And even at the end of the match, when they were leaving, I was like, okay, it still seems like the camera's on them for a little too long. The hugs are a little weird. I was like, is Roman turning on somebody right now? Because it was just awkward. And then I know we'll talk about it, but CM Punk left, came back. I was like, oh my God. oh my God. I was like, what's going on? And I also do want to backtrack to when CM Punk brought in the tools. People cheered because I think we were finally getting weapons. I'm like, yeah, we got two tables. And compared to the women's matches, the War Games match, men didn't do anything with, like, you know, chairs and the tables and the trash cans and the kendo sticks. So I was really cheering for the toolbox, and they didn't even open it.
Yeah. Well,
it was full, though. We heard it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad that it was full.
But that's to my point earlier of, like, we're used to War Games match where it's supposed to be violent. The Hell in a Cell match was way more violent than either of these these War Games matches. So I think when people saw him bring out the toolbox, it's like, oh, we're going to see somebody bleed, and nobody bled.
No, no. We do have an update, though, a Fightful Select update. This may have been what Sean was wanting to talk about. I'll dive into just a little bit of the details. Fightful Select's Corey Brennan has confirmed that Jacob Fatu, despite landing awkwardly, was not hurt after the match. Big Bronson Reed, not so lucky. It appears that he, from the tsunami off the top of the cage, suffered an injury to one or possibly both of his ankles on the landing. And then it was Jey Uso who revealed that Jimmy Uso broke his toe off of one of the splashes. So speedy recovery to both of those guys. It does sound like everybody else came out of the match okay, including CM Punk, who was limping a little bit at the end of this match. So yeah, that's the one thing, man. Like, I'm seeing this man who shattered his foot just doing a stage dive into some fans, like, go through War Games and Hell in a Cell, and I'm like, okay, he's good. He's doing all right. He's on a good stretch now, but I do get worried a little bit here. We got some super chats that are getting backed up here a little bit. We got Alan Jeanette saying, going to enroll in Tsunami State. That spot was absolutely insane from Bronson Reed. I really do hope that he's fine. Love for Boo saying, I broke my toe the same way that Jimmy did, except my Uso splash was more of a fall from a 4-foot fence to cement. I wouldn't want to do either.
What was she running from, bro? Where was she running from?
I was gonna say, can we get some more context on this? Like, I feel like I need to know.
It's a story to this.
What's
she doing?
Sure. Are you being chased by a dog? Like, what was going on? I need more information. Will Chisholm saying it's going to be real when we see the face off with Jacob and The Rock. That's hey, look, sign me up.
Maybe
sign me up for literally.
Yeah. Low-key stole this match as well. Tama Tonga is the funniest person in the world. When they did the introductions, like you said, and we got Solo doing his, and it got to Tama Tonga, and he's like from University, a master in yeah. And even when Punk is getting ready to get in the ring, and you see all the other Bloodline guys in there waiting, and Jacob is like pacing back and forth menacingly, and the whole time Tama Tonga is like peering over his shoulder. He's like, yeah, get in here. It's hilarious.
He's a hyena. He's like one of the laughing hyenas from Lion King is what he is. And it's great. I hope he continues to do it. Alan Jeanette saying, I thought Paul Heyman was going to come out with something to cut the chain. Lord, thank God Roman just climbed the damn cage and went in there. Because if he had, the fact that everybody went along with that spot, even Roman saying, hey, give me a key. Like I don't, at least he could have said, I don't climb. Like, yeah. Do something. But, like, everybody from commentary to Roman to everybody was just, like, pretending like the cage didn't have a roof for a second. It took me out of the match so much.
I guess because of his size, you could say that, like, oh, maybe he can't really climb. So, I mean, but then again, you have the toolbox in there. Somebody from inside could have just broken something. Or I thought they were going to have some kind of cutters under the ring. You had everything else under there. So the fact that he asked for a key, I was like, who's going to have the key, Roman? Who's going to have the key? And then I really thought Solo was going to, like, you know, have it in front of him and just kind of wave it and be like, I got the key. Ha ha. You should have swallowed it or something. That could have been a little bit more action. I don't know.
Yeah. Just the fact that he was like, you ain't getting in here. You ain't getting in here. And I'm just like, mother effer, there ain't no roof on the damn thing.
Yeah, that was hilarious. The fact that he yelled it all the way from the ring, like, hey, Roman, you ain't getting in here. Like, no, I think he's good. I think he'll be able to find a way in.
And I also don't think he heard you, sir. Like,
no. Yeah.
No, he's like talking to the ref, like, what'd he say?
Yeah.
We got another super chat here saying, love War Games, but the cameras at the end seemed as if Roman accepted the other guys, moved on. So where does the Bloodline saga go from here? Well, they're obviously going to keep it going because you know Solo is not just going to say, oh, well, even at the end, though, like commentary is just like, Solo Sikoa still wears the Ulafala. And he's like, well, why? Yeah. Where is it? Where's it laying down? Have Roman pick it up and walk off with it. Like, that should, this match should have been for that, shouldn't it?
That's what I thought this was for, but apparently it's not, because we have to keep this going. There are a lot of interesting bits at the end of this that I noticed. Roman looking like he was going to get squashed by Bronson, CM Punk being the guy that saved him. Great spot. Also, like you said earlier, when they surrounded Solo and they all took their time, just kind of took their time picking him apart, and it led to the GTS into the spear.
Which the excellent. GTS almost didn't happen.
Yeah, like, well, he stumbled there for a second. That might have been where, like, you know, because he was limping, right? That might have been where he tweaked something or other.
Yeah, great timing on that. But I love right afterwards that Punk is standing along the ring at the end, and he's just like, everybody else is happy. And they all go to him and hug him. None of them hug Roman. None of them go back to Roman. Again, laying in, these people still don't trust him. This was just, let's all team up together to beat these guys. But I still don't want to be your henchman. I still don't want nothing to do with you. The only person, funny enough, that still wants to be around him is now hurt. He doesn't have an ally because Jimmy's gone.
Well, he broke a toe. I'm sure they're not going to take him off TV for that.
But still, you're not going to put him in matches. He's not going to come and do run-in for you. He's on his own.
Wait a minute. You guys did not have your ones up when Roman came out, is what you're telling me?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
I was doing this.
I was up here. I was ready. Also, very CM Punk like to try to start beef before the match even starts. He goes up to the cage and he's present Bronson. And I was like, sir, in true CM Punk fashion.
That's what he was brought there for.
Yeah. He's kicking the wasp's nest.
The camera cut off. And I was like, oh, my God, here we go. It's the end of the night. The show, they called it. But the camera was fine. I thought it was good. I thought the money shot was at the end. When they're all there and they got the ones up, CM Punk comes back after he had left. And I was like, that's going to be on the cover of the newspapers tomorrow.
That was the money shot. Also, gets straight out, hugs Paul and goes, don't forget. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need that favor.
We got an update on our fence jumper, but we'll find out right after this.
Fence jumper.
Hey guys, I want to tell you all about the Main Event Players, a group of content creators who have banded together to change the game. They've got their Outside the Brand podcast on YouTube where they give weekly previews and predictions for wrestling and sports. I've got my notifications turned on, so whenever they go live, I get that notification on my phone. It makes it so easy. Great dudes, lots of charisma, just a great feel when you watch their show. And something else that I really liked, they do eFed stuff as well, which was a big passion of mine. So I really want you guys to check that out. Also, the Wrestling Room podcast on Spotify. A great concept. A wrestling couple takes their everyday conversations and records them for the world to hear. Something a little bit different than what you're used to. And if you want something new, you want something fresh, you want something different, check out the Main Event Players. Check out the Outside the Brand podcast. Check out the Wrestling Room podcast. YouTube, Spotify, they are they're all over the place. I'm stumbling all over my words talking about how all over the place they are. Check them out. The Main Event Players.
All right. Sean, he wasn't re-recording that joint. He was like, nah, this is going out exactly the way it is. I also laughed during the Norwin because I'm like, he might need to update that. I don't think WWE Network will be a thing in another month. So
yeah,
I need to change that.
RIP. RIP for sure. Anyway, love for Boo saying, I was hopping a fence to go skateboarding and the bar broke and then the fence collapsed. I mean, beefy boy. God, I can actually relate to this. One winter, I'm walking around with some friends and we're doing some backyard hopping and my fat ass got to the top of a fence to hop over and the it was one of those ones where like it's like the big thick logs that are like there's three of them and there's chicken wire. Yeah, so the top log just whether it was dry rotted or I was too fat or whatever, it just snapped right in half and I spiked myself on the top of the fence. It was, whew. I'm with you. I'm with you, brother. That shit hurts. So
you're ready for a War Games match now.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Alan Jeanette asking, did anyone expect The Rock to come out at the end tonight? I did not. Not The Rock specifically, because he's filming Moana 2 right now, although he could fly in and do a spot, I'm sure, depending on what happens. But with his filming schedule, I was expecting something tonight at the end of the show. The way that they were dragging it on, and after what happened last year, where we got the whole lower third, good night, everybody, and then CM Punk shows up and the internet explodes, right? I was expecting something else to happen at the end, and we got nothing. So I don't know if that's on me. Anybody else?
Yeah, I expected The Rock at one point. The closer we got to the show and we got no other mentions of him, I was like, probably not The Rock. They did promote the next Canada show with Cena, so I was like, maybe Cena, maybe that's why they're lingering around. We didn't get Cena, no Rollins, but you're right. They did linger on that last shot for a long time, so I was like, is something supposed to happen here? And it was just us getting more of the payoff that the only person that hugged Roman when he got back to the top of the ramp was Jimmy. Nobody else hugged him because, again, nobody else trusts him.
Even before they got to the ramp, though, I feel like inside, like as after they won, yeah, they were hugging and they were chilling, but the camera was on them a little too long individually, and then they took a little while to get out, and then going down the steps, and then being in front of the cage, and it's just like, okay, are we going to even just hear Seth's laugh and not even going to see Seth? Like, something.
Yes, that would have been a good spot for Seth to come out, right?
Yeah.
Lay somebody out, lay Punk out with a chair,
Not even physically there. Like, you could have just heard his laugh over the speakers. He could have played something and you would have been like, oh my God, Seth Rollins is here. What happens? Cut the feet off. Like,
is he the Joker
yeah,
now?
I thought something was going to happen there. In reality, it was just Punk going back in the curtain and clapping, going, good job, guys. And they're probably like, Phil, you got to go back out there.
We haven't cut the camera off yet. We haven't cut the camera off yet. Yeah. Did have a Humper Chat come in earlier from current Veronica is not good. I am sorry I missed this, but it just said, what a night. Harley Graham and Rhea paying homage to the Beast Mortos tonight. That's a good shout out with her mask coming down tonight.
I was like, oh my God, Rhea, House of Black, snaps. That's immediately what I thought. I was like, period. You quit.
Harley taking off her mask and yelling, it's me, was one of the funniest things I've seen today.
She's great.
So great.
She's great. She's another one of these that I think it's an absolute superstar in the making. She's got her character stuff down pat and wants the in-ring stuff, which is already good for somebody who's got 50 matches under her belt. Once that really gets into the next gear, she's going to be unstoppable, for sure. I was not surprised, by the way, final thing to bring up here, not surprised at all that Paul Heyman's attire from when he came back on SmackDown, that everybody was like, oh, he looks just like Solo. He's going to be joining total red herring the entire time. Like, absolute total red herring cape, just to get the internet nerds talking.
Anybody dress casually anymore? Like,
yeah, look, man, he wanted to look stylish. It was his first show back in a long time. Yeah. He wanted to look good. That's all. But no, I read this all along as he has no allegiance to any of these guys. He's not messing with Solo because he threw him through a table, and I don't think he trusts Roman anymore. So I think all of this is just like, nah, I don't mess with any of these guys. That's why I brought a guy in that's only loyal to me.
Paul Heyman, for his entire on-screen career, has been, as a manager in WWE, I am going to align myself with the person who provides me with the best chance of survival.
Yes.
And the one time that he finally said, no, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do what's right. I do not acknowledge you, Solo Sikoa, as my tribal chief. He gets triple power bombed through the announcer's desk. Why the hell would he immediately come back and align with Solo? Like, that completely, I'm just like, this is obviously a red herring. This is bullshit.
And we're supposed to look at Solo as a fraud. What if anybody knows that this guy is a fraud? He stood next to the genuine article more than once. He stood next to Brock. He stood next to Roman. He knows he's not the guy, man. He's not going to go over there with him. And to my point earlier, Roman's not the guy either anymore. He's not champion. We've seen multiple times when the guy loses the champion, Paul's like, well, this was fun, but I'm over here. Like I said on Grapsody, Paulie's for the streets, man. He's not he's not staying with you after you lose that belt.
No, his percentage of the winner's purse goes down when you don't have that. Like, and I respect it.
Listen, man.
To a certain degree.
We had a fun 3-year run, Roman. I called you multiple times. You didn't return my calls. Look, I'm over here now. I'm over here now, man. Look, it's cool.
Oh God. Well, we appreciate everybody who has chimed in the chat. Hope you guys have had a good night tonight. Iridian, where can the fine folks find all of your good work?
You guys can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, on Blue Sky. It's my username is my name, Iridian Fierro. On Instagram, Iridian_Fierro. And every Saturday, you guys can catch me here at the Collision Post Show with Rick and Cresta. I know here reviewing WWE, so it's a new routine for me, but I will be back next Saturday for Collision. And also head over to Rest Friends on YouTube. That's WREST Friends. And I do a lot of interviews, I do vlogs, and I just have a great time over there. So go ahead and subscribe to my channel. Phil, where can the beautiful Fightful people find you?
Not on Twitter very often. You can find me on Blue Sky, of course. You can find me, of course, every Saturday at noon Eastern, co-hosting Grapsody with Righteous Reg. Sometimes we are on Patreon as well, asking your questions every other Thursday for Ask Grapsody. I think that's it. You can find my writing at Bleacher Report.
Go. You can follow me on X or Blue Sky. Just search Rick Uccino as it's spelled there on the screen. That is the one-stop shop for all of my work, whether it's for here on Fightful or for the Takedown on SI for Sports Illustrated as well. Just did an interview with Mercedes Moné ahead of Full Gear. So that might still be my pinned post right now, but it's up there. You can find it there or the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. It's there as well. And of course, every Saturday, when I'm not working at my shoot job radio station on a Saturday night, I am here with Cresta and Iridian, and I will be back next week from the road because Collision is in Columbus, Ohio, which is a 90-minute drive for me. So I'm going to go up there. I've been working some phones. I think I got a big interview lined up. We'll see. I haven't nailed it down yet, but stay tuned. I'll let you know who, when, where, why, and how you can find it and read it if you follow me on X and on Blue Sky. So thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. Make sure to give this video a like. Make sure to subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already. Make sure to subscribe to Fightful Select, best $5 in the business. You can see all of Sean and Corey's great reporting directly to your email. You don't have to worry about other sites aggregating it correctly, even though I try to do the best I can when I do aggregate it for SI. Other than that, appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your weekend. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Talk to you soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.